morning. Today is Friday, December the 15th. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. New bosses, huh?
Yeah, new bosses. New mayor and vice mayor in Arcata as of yesterday. The council in Arcata selects a mayor each year, and the council selected Vice Mayor Sophia Pereira to serve as mayor for the 2018 year, and newly appointed council member Brett Watson to serve as vice mayor. So he'll
really an appointed as a vice mayor.
Yeah,
that probably doesn't have a lot of people in that line.
We haven't had a lot of appointed council members ever in Arcata, and it was just to fulfill approximately 2 years of a term when Mark Wheatley took the position of city manager in Fortuna. So Brett's position, and he has announced that he'll be running, obviously, for that position, is in November of 2018. So he'll be on the campaign trail as well.
I got a cool proverb here as our quote. I don't know where it's from. M-A-O-R-I. Is that like a tribe?
Maori, yeah.
Okay. Proverb. Turn your face to the sun and the shadows fall behind you.
Okay. The Maori,
cool?
I believe, are out of New Zealand.
Oh, sister city potential,
yeah.
Huh? Did you hear about that big old penguin they found down there?
I did.
Isn't that cool?
Huge.
A 6-footer.
Yeah. I know, and they look so cute and innocent, but I would not want to run across a 6-foot penguin.
Well, you'd probably roll over you.
Yeah. But fascinating.
Yeah, some of that stuff is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you spend a lot of time in the archives? Or do you have the opportunity to?
I don't have the opportunity to spend a lot of time. We've had a few people go back and start to index a lot of the archives in the city, but it does tend to be a favorite part of the tour of City Hall is to look in the vault. Sometimes we dig. We're obviously having a discussion. Probably most of your listeners have tuned in to some degree on the statue of William McKinley. So that does give us an opportunity to go back in the archives. We have done some digging there in terms of, you know, its placement and its history and the conditions surrounding the gift of George Zedner to the city and working through that. So the council held a study session just to receive public input in early December. And then they have re-agendized the item on the McKinley statue for the second meeting in February, which you don't have that calendar up yet, but it'll be the third Wednesday in February.
14.
We'll pull the date
out here. 21, 22?
Could be close. To agendize a discussion about the McKinley statue.
So what's behind that?
I think
is this people looking to do the Civil War thing in Humboldt County somewhere so they can feel like they're part of it? Or is there something more
viable? Yeah, you know, William McKinley is less attached to, I think, the Civil War. He fought with the North. He's got a fairly decent civil rights, legacy in that terms. The majority of the speakers, you know, spoke back to pre-Civil War and really looking, well, in post-colonization of Guam and the Philippines, work that he's done in Hawaii over that period, and just the atrocities that held from that colonization process. And then I would say the other half of the speakers really just spoke to what are the defined Arcata values that are put out there and whether or not does that as an icon stand in the center of the town, not to say that, you know, the statue should be removed completely from the city, but should that garner that statue? You know, they're
going to
ask
to have
the
palm
center.
Trees knocked out too? Because that really isn't part of Arcata's history either.
You can find an opinion on all sides. I've actually, you know, the palm trees are beloved in Arcata, but I also hear that sometimes people choose not to film because they're not historic. The palm trees take away from the
historic.
Well,
they're associated with Victoriana,
character.
And that means lumber mill barons, right. And that means lumber mills, that means cutting trees, and we're not,
You can always find a number of perspectives.
I guess if you need a dissenting view, just give me a buzz.
Yeah.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Deemer. Karen, along with the statue of William McKinley, wasn't there something else that you guys were having to deal with, kind of in association with that topic?
Yeah, there is also a plaque that sits on the plaza. It would be on the southwest corner, and it really just...
Give me a store.
Jacoby Storehouse, so directly across.
Okay.
And the rock itself.
Oh, the one in the
statue.
Rock on the corner there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it designates the Jacoby Storehouse as a historic structure.
Which it is.
Which it is, absolutely. But okay. There is language on that plaque that... you know, is disturbing. It talks about the building being a refuge in times of Indian troubles.
Was it not?
Well, I think that from the Native perspective, I don't think that we would have used the word Indian troubles if we were writing that plaque. Certainly today, I think it was indicative of the language at the time, but I don't think reflective accurately of the history of the plaza for all
people. When was it written?
I can't remember the date it was put up, but it was in the
50s, 60s, 70s.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the suggestions
so
that came up were...
So it's almost a historic plaque all by itself, being there for almost 60 years. Yeah, okay.
So there, you know, were suggestions of obviously removing it, replacing it with, you know, different wording, adding a second plaque that really just depicts the Native voice, even for that time frame or for current period next to it. So a number of different suggestions that came up, but it's the two.
So when you look at things like that, what do you look for as far as language? I mean, if you're trying to be all inclusive on everything, nothing ever gets said.
I don't actually think that's true.
Do you think you could say something about what?
Absolutely.
In something of that size and that many
absolutely,
words?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it just takes bringing the right people together to review and develop some simple language. We just worked with actually all of the local tribes working through what we call the TIPOs, the Historic Preservation Officers of the Tribes, to come up with an interpretive sign that will sit on the top of 7th Street overlooking where the sports complex is and where the bay used to come. And that's a very significant place, sort of in the cultural
or
history
the
of the tribes.
Or the museum house that used to be the party house, yes?
Yeah. The
When I was going through, there were too many guys on the basketball team that were there.
Really?
That was the party house before
it
became
a
museum.
The Phillips Historic House. Yeah,
yeah, that's what, yeah, yeah, okay.
And so we had a great collaborative of folks that worked between the different tribes and ultimately came up with language that I think we agreed to.
So it's going to be up there?
Yeah.
So instead of just, down where it was?
It'll be up overlooking. I mean, this is just a separate interpretive plaque surrounding, you know, periods of time that were significant in our Native history.
Going to have a series of those throughout town?
I'm really interested in that. We've had some discussions with folks at HSU about sort of the historic wharf area and the water, starting at the bay and kind of moving up through town in terms of some of the Native cultural history. But that
how about the logging history? Are you going to have two separate tracks so that you get? I love the historical concept.
Sure.
But to have both represented throughout town.
I think the more we can get, the more voices of that history is good. It really just comes down to resources, you know, and who's interested in coming forth to put together, you know, a series. I think there's a ton available with technology right now, too, and the ability to have small interpretive points and then an ability to say, you know, cue this up on your smartphone
or not home. A plaque.
Well, it could be. Some of it could be plaques. Some of it could be murals. Some of it could be, you know, small little spots that you could go to a website to get more information about. We do some of the logging history throughout the forest as well, sort of in that traditional setting of,
you guys have got so many cool old mill sites.
Yeah.
That have either been repurposed or are inaccessible, I guess, that really speak to the history of what that part of the bay was.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at it now, it's a couple old pilings in the middle of the mud, and you go, what's that?
What is that? Yeah. Yeah, so we've got several interpretive pieces that are scheduled to go in along the trail, the new trail. Some of that interpretation of, of historic uses of the bay, which would include logging, some of that with historic uses of the railroad. And then on the northern part of what we call the Ridge Trail, so West End Road, some of the old industrial mill sites, West End area, we've got a trail that goes directly adjacent to a still active log deck and mill site. And a lot of people, when we looked at that location, said, well, you don't want to put a trail right next to this industrial piece. And we said, well, we absolutely do. We want to be able to interpret that to show what working lands and sustainable forestry still exists here in Humboldt County and what that looks like up close. So we'll probably use that opportunity, at least initially, to do some interpretation on current and past logging practices.
Where do you get the California historical markers? Where do those come from? Is that a state project?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have monies available for this kind of thing? Because I mean, imagine if the entire state was doing things like this.
Right. Not that we've been able to tap into. So the Coastal Conservancy funded all new interpretive signs for our marsh and wildlife sanctuary. And a lot of that is historical interpretation as well. The grant funds associated with our rail with trail and the trail project also wanted interpretive pieces as part of sort of the access to the bay and working within the coastal zone. So we try to find monies through larger projects as we're doing them to add in interpretation where we can.
Historical interpretation or historical documentation?
Yep. We'll all say documentation, but in reality, I mean, we're looking for what is the factual truth.
Not it being spun.
Sure, that's the whole idea.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Karen.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk Shop presented by Lolita Cheese Factory, by CDH Painting, and by Redeck. Has this last 2 weeks with the good weather given you guys opportunities that weren't expected but you were able to take advantage of?
Arcata, as a city operations, we're very lucky to have finished up our construction projects, but we have a lot of private development that is still open and still heavily under construction. So we have predominantly it'll be student housing being built by Kurt Kramer up on the new Foster Avenue, working on the first two sets of a series of which will ultimately be about 142 units of housing. And then we also just broke ground last Saturday on a new tractor supply company that's going to be right on Gentoli in the West End area. And they have purchased four major size lots from the Mad River Industrial Park owned by Ken and Ellen Zanzi. And we had a really exciting groundbreaking there just about a week and a half ago. So here they are in mid-December breaking ground and trying to get things buttoned up. So yeah, we've had a few big projects in the area that have gotten very lucky with the weather. And it looks like we still have a little window.
How many tractor supply companies do we need in Humboldt County where we probably sell?
Two. We need
two tractors?
We need two of them.
Okay.
One in Fortuna, one in Arcata.
Yeah. But I presume they sell more than just tractor-related materials, too. So.
They do quite a bit. And, you know, and they actually sell some outdoors, some kayaks and paddle boards and stuff, and it's right on the river. I mean, that location is right on the river, so I was trying to encourage them at the opening to do demos in the river. We've got a city park now that's right adjacent to where their development will be.
And that's more activity for your park.
Absolutely, yeah. And that, I mean, the whole purpose of the acquisition of that parcel and working with Caltrans on it was for river access. So it would be really perfect.
But now we just have to be sure that there's water in there, that the pot farmers aren't pulling it out illegally next summer.
It looks pretty full right now, even with the dry weather. So it's a good time.
Are there any other? Well, let me get back to Kurt's project, Kramer. is that student housing or is that apartments
in the city? Yeah, apartments in the city. And all of what we would consider historical student housing has all been open. It's not, you know, closed to what we would say matriculating students only.
Other than the dorms?
Other than the dorms on campus right now. But the city is contemplating a project that's before the Planning Commission right now. They've had three hearings on it already, and they'll have another hearing on what's called the Village Development on the 19th, next Tuesday night on December 19th. We'll have their next hearing, and they are working through what is being proposed. Is it's being titled as a 240 unit, but it's actually 800 beds of student-only housing. So students, my understanding is that would be if you're actively enrolled in CR, you're actively enrolled in Humboldt State, would have access to this housing. It is kind of quasi-dorm style where the units share, most of them are four-bedroom units where each student would have a bedroom and a bathroom that they could lock, which would be their own space, and then they would share a common small living area and kitchen. Most of them are four units, some of them are two or three.
So kind of like a quad concept.
Yeah. Yeah, which we saw a lot of. I mean, even on some of the private developments in the past in Arcata, we had what used to be called the Colony Inn down on Samoan Union, which was that exact same design. Now, that has subsequently, you know, maybe 15 years ago, been retrofitted more to just efficiency studio and one-bedroom apartments.
It's not the Colony Inn anymore?
No, and it's eluding me what it's called, something Creek, but I think... but it's a big project. We've had, I think, about 100 different written public comments that have come in from neighbors.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
The majority of the comments are thumbs down in its current form. Here are the things we really want the commission to consider. It is four stories, so overall height is significant for Arcata.
Victorians are four stories.
Mostly three, but they're tall.
Well, I include basements.
The massing of them. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I do two from the Midwest, but we don't see a lot of those here in California. So it's about, well, I shouldn't quote, I think it's 50 feet tall at this point, you know, is the proposed height. and it's in the current site where we have light industrial right now called the Craftsman Mall, and it's kind of a mix of several light industrial complexes.
This is the one that's on the west side of the highway?
West side of the highway. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we have the developers put up at the city's request what are called story poles. So a couple of large poles on the corners of the development to show the height and what the massing would be. So if people are interested, they can go out to the site and kind of take a look at. And there's also several perspective drawings that are at cityofarcata.org. We have a major development section of our website that can go and show sort of a visual perspective of what the proposal would look like.
Can't they just plant a couple of redwood trees around it that'll be taller than it and not worry?
That's all proposed and designed as well.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But it is a significant amount of housing.
Is the demand there for Humboldt? Is Humboldt's student population going to start expanding again? Or is it going to take from existing and now you're going to have more, but it's not going to be the new stuff?
It's all speculative at this point. The concept in the city's general plan was to densify housing close to Humboldt State. For two reasons. One was so that hopefully every student didn't need to bring a car to Humboldt State University. And two was to try to draw students out of the neighborhoods to free up single-family residential units by attracting students with high-quality but closer to campus housing in a denser format.
So like Sunny Bray may be more of the owner-occupied kind of stuff.
Now, okay. I would say the predominant thinking on this is that there's probably enough of a need for housing that it's not going to, this alone might not draw out of our neighborhoods, but that's just speculative at this point.
But combined with what Kramer's project, now you're talking about 1,000 beds.
Right. Yeah. And we have
it's gonna come from somewhere.
Another 40 on deck right now under Strombeck Development, and then he's got another property that he's in the process of developing an upzone request for, so we'll see how many end up there. So there's
what?
What we call, well, the property right now, I think, is zoned for 22 units. So with second units, could probably fit 44. But the last design I saw, I think he wanted to fit 77 units, but just all, again, studio and single bedroom.
So the high density stuff.
Right. Yeah.
KINS News and Information Times 8:43. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 847. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So, you got 3 weeks? One, two, about 2 weeks and 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Till the end of the year.
Yeah. It's not the end of the year. It's the start of the next year.
It is.
Yeah. You guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah. We have a lot of fun. In fact, the council that they're meeting.
Don't dance
Wednesday.
Around the elephant, girl.
What's the elephant?
The marijuana.
Oh, getting ready. Yes, actually, Arcata is ready for legalization of retail, what we call retail cannabis.
How many retail stores have taken out permits or will be selling?
We have right now, so we're working on two things. One is on the retail side, we have two active dispensaries in Arcata. Each of those have the ability to come in, demonstrate that they're in good standing, and receive a retail permit.
So retail and dispensary then are a common permit?
At this point. And the community is still working through some suggested ideas on other retail outlets. So that is a piece that Arcata hasn't finalized, all of the rest of the potential retail outlets. And what I mean by that is, let's just take the plaza as an example. I mean, Arcata could say only retail at dispensaries, or let's say retail absolutely anywhere as being the two extremes. Something in the middle might look like, we would like to have retail evenly spaced throughout the commercial sectors of Arcata. On the plaza, we don't want to see any retail on the lower level, and we don't want anything displayed in any exterior windows. We'll allow one small, I'm kind of making this up, this isn't actually necessarily what's going to happen, I should let your listeners know, but as an example.
That's okay, when you say this big, no,
right, this
nobody's
big. Nobody
really paying attention,
nobody can see the
so
4 inches that I'm holding up. You know, one small indicative sticker that would show there's an upstairs business, or, you know, there's a business that maybe comes in from the back of a business in the plaza.
Oh, kind of like the old speakeasies.
Yeah, no, not like the old speakeasies. We will draw no comparisons to that.
Well, that's one of the questions people have had. Will liquor store establishments or bars be allowed to?
Right, and we're still, at this point, it still says no. The law says no. The state law says no. And we will still work out, you know, what the local preference is, and we'll follow and track that state law.
Drug-free zones, smoke-free zones, both will apply?
Yes, and Arcata's ordinances already restrict smoking in all areas, including marijuana, vaping, and e-cigarettes.
Thanks for coming by.
Happy holidays.
Christmas to you.